Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone has had a wonderful day, and I would like to invite everyone to worship as we stand, and yes, good stuff.
I was buried beneath my shame. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures and tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. My soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open.
Good morning, everybody. All right. It's good to see you. We're trying a few new things today. Have a seat for a moment. Trying a few new things today, so we got a few little things to work out and tweak. So, hey, if we haven't met yet, my name's Andrew, and I'm a senior pastor here at Columbia Grove. It is good to see you. It's good to see you. More and more people returning to in-person worship each week. And, of course, those of you who are joining us online right now, thanks for doing that as well. We hope to see you in person soon, but we also know that people are joining from all over the place, and it allows us to stay in touch even when we're at a distance, and we are really grateful for that. Speaking of things that we are grateful for, it's kind of exciting, isn't it, to see that things, in terms of pandemic, we're moving forward. You grateful for that? Such a good thing, such a good thing, such a good thing. But I do want to speak a little bit into that, because it's a super good thing, but it also has us having to process some things a little bit carefully right now. So at least as of yesterday, the last time I checked in, at least our local health ordinances and things like that haven't yet caught up to what's happening with the CDC just yet. So some of those things are going to be shifting. Now, throughout this entire time, there are three promises that we have made to you as a congregation. And I, by God's grace, I think we've kept them, even at times when it's been really costly to do so. Number one, as we said, we're going to do our part to try to prevent the spread of COVID. And by God's grace, to the best of my knowledge, nobody at any Columbia Grove public event has caught it. So it's a good thing. Number two with that is that we're going to be people who honor the laws and the authorities above us in all matters short of sin, kind of like a Romans 13 thing. And thirdly, within those parameters, we're going to do everything we possibly can. We're going to bend over backwards. We're going to go out of our way. We're going to do everything we can to keep people connected and to build unity and mutual care within the church. And so in this immediate moment, we find ourselves actually seeing some of those values with where we're going to have to wrestle with some pieces of that. Now, I should remind you that though I am the senior pastor here and super grateful for that, I am not the CEO, I am not El Jefe, I am not the boss, though there are churches where it kind of works like that. But for us, at least, our local church policies get worked out with our leadership team and with the really big ones, with our congregation. So it's going to take a little bit of time for some of our local policies also to work through that. And we want to have good process. So I'm just saying that to say, you know, please be patient with us as we also try to catch up to the changes. And the other piece, I would again remind you that I'm not the one that sets policy, but I would like to speak one piece just kind of pastorally into this process. You know, one of the things that we do as Christians is we are grateful for the incredible freedoms that we have. We celebrate them, we defend them, but we also are very careful in how we exercise them. And there are going to be times where we have freedoms that we intentionally choose to not use, or at least not use yet. And this might be one of those times, is we have the capacity, we have the freedom, if you will, to have different rules for those who are vaccinated and those who are not. And pastorally, I would just say, let's be really careful about that. My hope and my heart is that we go out of our way to not treat one another differently because of that. We have enough things in culture trying to divide us, right? I think it would not be wise for us to set up a culture where we are asking people to disclose personal medical information as they're coming into the church, or to be maybe misrepresenting themselves and misrepresenting their health history and their very personal health decisions that you need to be making with your doctor, with your family, and honestly on your knees in the Lord in prayer. So I'm not going to tell you what to do on those things, but I would urge us to do everything we can in this season with some of these new freedoms to guard the unity of the church and to treat everybody fairly and equally and well, because every person here matters. Okay? Amen? Yeah, so just let's be patient and for right now, we're still under those phase 3 rules, so I would ask us to honor those as we as we move forward. You don't need to like them. You don't need to like them. If more than anything, let the law of love dictate what you do. And so if you'd humor me for just a second, just look around. Just look around the room. Look around the room. You know, the question that I hope would be foremost on all of our minds as we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ is, what does love demand of me today? What is the most loving thing I can do to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ right now? And even in this season where for a few weeks it's going to be a little murkier, you know, some of the laws and the guidelines are going to be a little murkier, you know, that timeless biblical truth is not murky. And it can give us a good guide, and the Spirit can lead us to know what to do. So that's the heavy. Let's talk about the good part. Here's the good part. Children's church resumes today. Yes! Woo! Booyah! We're moving forward, and it's fantastic. So, parents, you probably, hopefully, you know, if you have kids between kindergarten and grade 4, you registered them on the way in. If not, you're going to have a chance to do that in just a moment. And in just a moment, we're also going to be dismissing our kids to go to children's church. Yay! And they're going to be coming back, you know, right at the close of the sermon. So with communion, you can do communion as a family. All those kinds of wonderful things that we are committed to doing with one another and for one another as a church family. So speaking of church family, yeah, we do have an annual meeting coming up on May 23rd. So, you know, keep that on your calendar. So that's like next week. So we'll be making some big decisions together as a church family. All right. Let me pray for our kids as we get ready to dismiss them to children's church. Yes. Okay. And then keep moving forward. And Lord, just thank you for our kids. Thanks, God, that we get to do this again. It feels so good. It feels so good to be able to be moving forward. Lord, give us wisdom as we do. Help us to love like Jesus really well in this time, especially in those areas that can be and could potentially be divisive. Lord, help us in the way that we treat one another, in our attitude to one another. Lord, help us to be deeply, deeply unified. And Lord, we just pray for our kids. We pray, God, that even as they hear Bible lessons and sing songs and interact with their teachers and their hosts, and God, we just pray that you, by your Spirit, would just deeply speak to their heart. Let them know who they are in you. God, build them up. That they would come to a personal knowledge of you, because we know that changes everything as we come to know you. So bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, parents, please take your kids to just out that back door to the left, and there'll be some children's church hosts to meet them there now. And this will be a time to greet one another. So, you know, be watching one another's social cues and what's going to be the right way to greet. But I encourage you to give somebody a high five, give somebody a little bit of a fist bump. And if you're joining us online and you have some greetings, let's just put some of those greetings up on the screen as well, because we are one church meeting in multiple locations, and we are in this together. So you can even stand up, church. You can even stand up, look around a little bit, wave to somebody, give them some moose antlers, give them a high five, give them whatever you're going to do, give them an air five, whatever you need to do. But just let somebody know that you are glad to see them. Thanks, team, for leading us in worship.
My heart good from the stage to look out and see people actually interacting with one another. This is what it's all about, church. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm so glad that we're starting to have those liberties and freedoms again. As you make your way back towards your chairs, I encourage you to stand if you want to. If it would be more comfortable to sit, that's totally okay. We want you to be totally comfortable in worship. And behind the screen, the same thing. And I'm hoping that this song will touch your hearts like it's touched mine over the years. This is one of my favorites. But it's just a good reminder of what Christ has done for us, what God did for us when he sent his son. He gave us the opportunity, you know, for redemption. And I think sometimes we just need to be reminded. So will you worship with us today?
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that live in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures.
Have a seat as we move into a time of congregational prayer, and I'd like to invite Pastor Andrew's wife, Anita, up to lead us in congregational prayer.
Good morning, church. It is so good to see each one of you here today, and so glad you could join us. Let's take a few minutes and join together in prayer. God, we just thank you for today that we can be here together and meet together and celebrate your love and goodness to us. God, I just thank you that we can even look around our valley and see your creation and the beauty of spring and renewal and hope in the beauty all of around us. And thank you for that and the opportunity that we can live in such a beautiful place. God, I just pray that this week we would see the beauty around us and see the beauty in each other. And thank you that we can be here today to celebrate together. God, we just lift up our world to you. And so many concerns that are heavy on our hearts. God, we just thank you that we know you are in control, that we can trust you, and that you never change. God, we pray for our leaders, for local, state, and national leaders. God, give them peace, wisdom, and guidance as they make so many decisions. And just pray that you'd give them wisdom that would be made in the best interest of all. God, we just pray for those people that live in places in suffering around the world. God, would you be their peace and their hope and their comfort? God, we pray especially for India that are so affected by COVID right now. God, we pray that you would intervene and provide what they need. God, we pray where there is violence in the world today that you would bring peace. God, we lift up those who are on the margins of society, the refuge, the immigrant, the hungry, the persecuted, the defenseless, the poor, the unborn, those that are often overlooked. God, may you just provide for them and help us to see how we can be your hands and feet to them. God, we just pray for your church around the world, and you know the many challenges that we as a church face today. God, we pray for those who are missionaries, church leaders, and evangelists that are bringing your good news to people. Would you give them the strength and the energy and the endurance that they need, and that people's hearts would be open to hear your good news and the life that you bring? God, we just thank you so much for our church here and that we can work together in Wenatchee to bring light to our community. God, would you continue to lead us as a church and give us wisdom to see how we can reach out and serve our world here? God, we thank you so much today that Children's Church is able to meet again. Thank you for people who are willing to serve our children and teach them about you. God, just be with them today and bless them especially. And God, for our annual meeting next week, that you would be present and giving us wisdom in the decisions that we make. Thank you for our leaders here. We pray for those in our congregation today that are hurting and struggling, for those who are lonely, sick, struggling marriages, struggling against addiction, looking for work, or asking for your direction. God, meet with them where they are today. We pray especially for Susan Lett's mother, Becky, as she faces cancer, and be with her family as they minister to her. Be with them in all the different facets of her care that she would feel love and comfort at this time. And God, we just take this minute to remember those people that we love that are struggling at this time. Just lift them up silently or out loud at this time. God, thank you that you hear our prayers and you know each situation and care about it even more than we do. God, we just pray that you would be present in each of these situations. And God, I pray for Andrew today as he brings your word to us, that our hearts would be open to hear what you want to say to us. Thank you for the time and the energy that he's put into studying and to preparing. Just pray that you would give him the right words to say, and that we would hear you speak through him. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, honey. There is, yeah, There's nobody whose prayers and partnership matter more to me than hers. Nobody. Well, other than Jesus. But I figure I already knew that. So a weird thing happened to me a few weeks ago. I was jogging along the canal, as I often do. For me in the morning, it's like, you know, coffee, time with Jesus, go for a run. That's my morning routine. And so, but this happened to be, it was a Monday, I remember that. I was tired. Honestly, I was a little worried. You know, I was anticipating some harder conversations later that day and some email and some things like that. And so I was just kind of in my zone. I was just, you know, just running along and doing my thing. As I was running, the corner of my eye, you know, somebody passed, but I was just kind of in my zone. And as I passed him, he said, "Hey!" I turned around, and it was a guy, and he was he was pretty kind of a heavy winter jacket, which I thought was odd, because I'm just in a t-shirt and shorts, and a hoodie and a stocking hat. "Hey!" I said, "Hi." He said, "Are you a youth pastor?" I said, "Yeah." Which is mostly true. Y'all are young, right? And I have been. And then he looked at me and he said, "How dare you? How dare you? How dare you run, walk, go right past someone and not even acknowledge their presence? How dare you?" And he got more and more angry. And then as he's getting on my face, what he says, I want to make sure I'm relaying it accurately and also appropriately. So I'm going to actually quote some lyrics from a famous CeeLo Green song. At least the radio version of a famous CeeLo Green song. And those of you who know what this song is, you're going to know exactly what was said in this moment. And those of you who don't know, you'll figure it out real fast. So he's looking at me and he says, "How dare you? How dare you? And you say you're a man of God and you just go right past somebody and you don't even acknowledge their presence. Well, you know what? Forget you. Forget you. Forget you, oh, forget, 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 forget." And he stomps off. "Forget! Forget! I just hate people." And I remember I was just like shocked and like, okay, I don't quite know what to do right now. And this is really unusual for like, you know, 7:15 in the morning. And in the moment, I was actually thinking like, what would it be like for those of you who live on the side of the canal? Like, you know, like, you know, like somebody's eating their oatmeal and like, mommy, why is CeeLo Green outside my window? You know, like what is going on here? But he was really angry. And after he stomps off, I was just kind of rattled by it. And I started having a bit of a mental pity party. And you may not need to hear it, but I'm going to let you hear just a little bit of it. I'm thinking, do they have those expectations of bank tellers? I could have been a bank teller. Could have driven a UPS truck. Nobody would have expected. Am I really expected, if I'm a pastor, to really be expected to be on and positive and present 24/7? Is that really realistic? How dare he? How dare he? Forget him. So he was offended by me, and I was offended at his offense at me. You ever get offended? So, as I'm walking off, feeling offended, the Lord started to work on me. And we'll pick up the story in a little bit. But we all get offended, don't we? Do you think in our culture we've gotten more like eager to be offended in the last 10 years? It's like we're turning it into an art form. Do you remember the great offense of 2018? So sweet to my nostrils. Conservatives are offended by the liberals, and liberals are offended by the conservatives. Different ethnic and racial groups are offended by one another. And this passage that we've been in, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the latter half of it, it cuts through a lot of that clutter, a lot of that clutter and a lot of that offense with an idea. And we're going to be reading actually from the NIV today. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 21. This passage that hopefully is getting really familiar as we've been looking at it over these last weeks from different angles and in different translations. And our word of the day today, that does have, I think, a lot to do with offense. So that's the piece that we're going to, this particular piece, angle we're going to be looking at, is look for the word reconciled. Reconciled and reconciler. So we're just going to read it in its full, and then we're going to come back to a couple of really key ideas in there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God who, and there's our key word, reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of, there's our key word again, what is it?
Reconciliation.
Reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Oh, thank God. And he has committed to us the message of, what's the word?
Reconciliation.
We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the first part, of course, is to remember that we have been reconciled to God. That through what Christ accomplished for us, on our behalf, on the cross, the sins that separate us from God the Father have been dealt with once and for all. You are reconciled to God through Jesus. He will not force himself on you, but that invitation is available to every man, woman, child that has ever lived. It's an open door opportunity for all who will respond and receive that gift. That's the essence of the good news. We have been reconciled to God. That's the first part. It's the most important part. It's the foundational part. But it is not the only part. Because we are reconciled to God, then, which on some level is kind of the easier part, because God did all the work. It's a gift. All you can do is receive it. Because of that, he has entrusted to us that ministry of reconciliation, that message. We tell others about reconciliation, and then we step into lives of reconciliation ourselves, and that's a lot harder. And while there are many different angles we could talk about, I mean, we could spend 6 months on just even this concept of what it means to be reconciling reconcilers, the reconciled ones who then reconcile. I want today just to look at that angle of offense. You know, in those moments when we're offended. And steps that may help us to move from places of offense to places of empathy. To take that journey from offense to empathy. So here's some ideas. Some guidance, perhaps, with that. It can be helpful at times to ask ourselves a question when we're feeling offended. Remember what it's like to feel offended? To be like, yeah, I totally did. I opened up my social media this morning. I'm already offended. It's great. We're right there. I'm right there with you, Pastor. Okay, we're offended. Here's a good question to ask when we are offended. Why am I offended? Really? Not just what do I find offensive. That part comes easy. I mean, you're already triggered. I'm already triggered. But why am I offended? Really? Why am I offended? See, all of us, we have this default where, you know, we are very concerned about our own feelings, justifiably, our own well-being, our own freedoms, justifiably. Because your feelings, your freedoms, all that stuff, they matter. They matter to God. He's a good father, and you're his child. What good parent doesn't care about how his kids feel? But we have a hard time sometimes extending, you know, that same thought process to the people around us. So why am I offended? Really, why is it that when I'm offended, I can too often see the person, you know, whether that's just a few feet away from me down the canal, or a person across a screen, or another person on social media, where I actually see them as a problem to be solved, or maybe even worse, a foe to be vanquished, rather than a person to be loved. It's easy when we're feeling offended to be more concerned about what's going on in ourselves, you know, and our own well-being. And so here's a secondary question that might be helpful that goes along with it. Is you know, as you ask yourself, so why am I offended? Why am I offended? Am I offended because I see an overt sin in their life? Or am I offended because I'm just finding this really annoying? And because if we dive deeper into either major possibility, I think it'll actually move us to places of greater empathy. Because remember, when we're looking at somebody else and we see an overt sin in our life, and I choose my language to there very carefully, because you see, all of us have sin, right? All of us. But you know, there's sins that somebody like, I don't. Well, liar, liar. No, you should go into politics. You really should. Okay, but all of us have sin in our life. Some of them are overt. Some of them are easily visible. I mean, if you're lying, if you're stealing, if you've got committing adultery, I mean, people can tell. You know, those overt sins, the very visible sins, but there's also all of the stuff that's just as nasty and rotten that's going on, you know, whether that's, you know, that's pride or lust or envy. Those kinds of feelings can be well buried. We're so good at it. But the thing is that we need to remember, when we're talking about sin, especially sin in a brother or sister, sin kills. Romans reminds us that the wages of sin is death. So when we look and we see somebody else struggling with sin, the first response we should have is one of concern for their well-being and the well-being of the people around them. I need to tell a story. So back when I was a full-time youth pastor and living in Yakima, anybody here from Yakima today? Okay, actually, no, there is. So there was a kid in our youth group, and let's call him Bobby. That's not really his name, but he was like the epitome of country boy. Like, because we were out in Autanum Valley, orchards, fields. So Bobby and his cousin, they were out playing in the fields one day, and they're 16 years old. They both just had recently got their driver's license. They're out playing in the field, and they found a baby rattlesnake. Oh, yeah. Now, using 16-year-old boy logic, when you find a baby rattlesnake, what do? You catch it. Of course you catch it. And then you think, I've got one. What do I do with him? I take him home. And so Bobby Bobby and his cousin, they got this rattlesnake and they put him in a cardboard box, sealed up the cardboard box, and they both had separate vehicles. So Bobby puts him in his Chevy Blazer on the passenger seat. So there's this a box, and he's driving down the road to bring his pet rattlesnake home. Isn't that awesome? So he's driving down the road and the box is shaking. Box is shaking, and he's driving, and pretty soon he realizes the box has stopped shaking. And he moves the box, and the box is a lot lighter. But using 16-year-old boy logic, now, if you have a choice between pulling over and dealing with the problem or continuing to drive and dealing with the problem, which would you pick? Of course you keep driving. So he's driving. And of course, he's trying to figure out where in the truck is the snake. And so even though, he's not quite as amazing a driver as you when you're on a cell phone, he's driving along, and amazingly enough, his driving started to get a little erratic. And so a cop pulls him over. So now he is at the side of the road. Hands at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and on his best behavior. Yes, officer. He's trying to talk himself out of a traffic ticket. And yes, officer, no, officer. And he's watching in the corner of his eye, as in one of the air vents, is a rattlesnake. I only tell you that story because it helps us to remember, when we've got, sin, the sin in our life, and the sin in each other's life is that dangerous. It's that dangerous. We can pretend it's not there, but it's that dangerous. You got a rattlesnake in your Bronco, brother. You got a serpent in your Supra, sister, and that's a problem. And our response, our first response, as we see it in our own lives and as we see it in one another's lives, our first response should be one of empathy and care. Because the truth is, a loose rattlesnake can kill you. And so even as we engage, and so we're going to look at one of these famous passages in Matthew 18, of as we engage and as we are called to engage, just hear the heart behind this. This isn't some wagging finger telling somebody off because they've ticked you off. This is engaging because you care about your brother or sister and they've got a rattlesnake in their truck. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. If your brother or sister sins, go point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And there's a process. But that process, and we could say a whole lot more about it more than I have time for today, but the process, and this is the only point I want to make from this today, that process is driven by love. It's driven by empathy. It's driven by concern for the well-being of your brother or sister. So as we engage, we're called to engage with love. With love. We get so offended, don't we? In Christians, we've at times we've made it even an art form to get offended at the non-Christian world around us. Why in the world, church, why does it surprise us that people that don't know Jesus act like they don't know Jesus? Why is that shocking to us? And why is it not more shocking when people who say they know Jesus too often act as if they don't? So we got to be careful with our offense and how we handle our feelings of offense. So you ask that question, is this a sin or is this just an annoyance? Because the truth is, much of the time it is. It's just an annoyance. You know, it's something that somebody else has done, and it just bugs you. You don't like it. It makes you feel bad. You know, makes you feel uncomfortable. Now, as those things happen, remember your feelings matter? Of course they matter. The things that hurt you hurt God. God cares about how you feel. He also cares about the feelings and the perspective of the people around you, even when they don't always see eye to eye. You know, those things, when those things are an annoyance, if we are at least honest enough to voice it, I am just bothered by this. This is a problem to me because how it bothers me, at least, at very least, it can help us to keep that in perspective. It can help to change the tone, and it shifts how we engage. I believe those kinds of questions, that kind of thought process, can help to move us from offense to empathy. We have to make the move from offense to empathy. The person, even that super annoying person, even that super offensive person, even that person in the winter jacket and the hoodie and the stocking cap, is someone that matters to God. And so I'm reminded, and maybe this is even especially appropriate, with this next little season that we're heading into as a church and as a church culture, and even to a certain degree as a nation, as we figure all this next levels of things out here. You know, in Romans chapter 14, the early church finds itself really divided because of these dietary laws, and some people are going to be vegetarians. Other ones aren't going to be vegetarians. Some are going to eat meat that has been offered to idols, as long as they don't know that it's been offered to idols. Others are like, no, that's a horrible thing. And so Paul starts to address this, and he says this in chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind to not put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. And continues on in Romans 15, 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. You know, it's this idea that, we have these freedoms, we have these convictions, and thank God that we have these freedoms. We are careful about how we apply those freedoms. We use those freedoms to build one another up, rather than tear one another down. Okay? So, if we look to apply this to our life, are you easily offended? Ask your spouse. Am I easily offended? They'll tell you the truth. Are you easily offended? My hope is as we look at this passage, we try to apply it to our lives and say, God, let me be a reconciler. God, make me a reconciler. So just a few little diagnostic questions, Is there a situation in your life where you're maybe asking God to help you move from offense to empathy? Is there someone or something that's just gotten under your skin and you're offended? That maybe even today you're willing to say to the Lord, Lord, help me to move towards empathy. Help me to see whether that's a person on the other side of a screen or the other side of the bed or the other side of the room. Help me to see them as a person to be loved and not just a problem to be solved. Is there anyone that God is calling you to move from offense to empathy? Secondly, is there anyone that maybe you need to make the first move of reconciliation with? There may be somebody in your life that's just dying to get that text message from you. to get that phone call? Would you be open to the Spirit speaking to you? Is there anyone in your life that maybe you need to apologize to? Make the first move? If the Spirit speaks to you on that, you open to hearing it? So back to the forget you story. So a few weeks ago that happened. It was weird. And I'm brewing it around in my brain. And have my own internal little pity party. And as I take it to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, that just felt really unfair. That felt like an overreaction. You know, God doesn't, you know, often, it's only a few times in my life I felt like he's really, like, well, this wasn't like spoken, but it was sure felt like the Spirit. Yes, Andrew, that was an overreaction. It was. And no, I don't expect you to be on all the time. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to not be perpetually available. But I bet you'll never forget that sometimes there's a lot more pain out there and a lot more loneliness than you see. It was funny, I was listening to a podcast. And this will reveal all my nerd innards. So it's a podcast called Radiolab. It's looking at all these little things about science and life and stuff like that. And so I was listening to this podcast about, it's called kleptotherms. You can look that up. It's really weird. But it was looking at how people's body temperature will actually vary. That there's all these other, you know, non-physical factors that gauge somebody's body temperature. And one of the things they brought up was how they did this, it's a pretty recent study, in this case, of people who were dealing with schizophrenia. And they noticed that when somebody feels really isolated, really socially alone, their body temperature is actually lower. So that, you know, when you see that person and they've got all those layers of clothing on, granted there can be a lot of different things, but one of the possibilities out there, it could be that they're and the more isolated they feel, the more cold they actually feel. And that's one of the reasons when you see that person that might be struggling with mental illness, and please hear me carefully, I have no idea if this gentleman was. I am not qualified to make that diagnosis. This is just a new thought that went into my head, you know? Sometimes a person who has all those layers, it's because they feel isolated and they feel like they need some protection and they are actually physically cold. Now, like I said, I have no idea if this is what this guy is struggling with but it started to shift my heart. You know, you start praying about things and God has a way of just, he makes changes, doesn't he? And so a few days ago, I'm running along the canal. Did you know who was coming the other way? The guy comes and I'm thinking, okay, my heart's in a different spot. I'm not just ticked off at him anymore. I'm now like, you know, I wonder if he's just really lonely and hurting. And he comes running along and I just wave and say, good morning. And I just keep and go about my business. And I drive, or I don't drive, I ran a little bit further. And he says, hey, he's not yelling. I turn around and he says, hey, I got to apologize to you. I really went off on you a few days ago. I was having a really bad day. And I know you're a man of God. And I know you didn't deserve that. You forgive me? Seems well God was working on me. He's working on him too. And so I say, yeah, it's all right. He says, no, really, I shouldn't have done that. So I said, hey, my name's Andrew. What's yours? And he tells me his name. I'm not going to tell it to you, but I only say that to bring up when we see each other on the canal now, we greet each other by name. We have no idea, the pain that's around us in any given moment. What people are feeling, what they're going through, even small gestures can make a big difference. And as we allow God to move us from places of offense to places of empathy, it can make a difference. It can make a difference. So I think about, my hopes and dreams for here. I just want so much for the local church, especially Columbia Grove, to be known as a community of reconcilers. Places where people, when they are hurting, where they find empathy and grace. Do you long for that? I do. That we really can love like Jesus. And those acts of loving like Jesus, no matter how small, can make a really significant difference. You pray with me? God, thank you for your word that reminds us that we have been reconciled to you. Lord, we don't want to take that lightly at all and what that means. So Lord, help us in response to be a community of reconcilers. And and friends, if you're here and you just feel like you are distant from God, and I want you to know that God has already made the first move. He's already offered his grace and forgiveness and mercy to you through Jesus Christ. And so if it's been a while since you've responded to his love, maybe today could be the day to take that first step or that renewed step. So even as we continue to pray and just seek the Lord, if that's something that you're wanting to do today, if you're saying, God, I want to be reconciled to you. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to know that I am right with you. And you've got any doubt in your heart about that, I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you. And so we're not going to put you on the spot. That is not our style at all, not one tiny bit. But can we just make eye contact for a second, if that's you? Okay. I see you. Yeah. And so, Lord, for those around the room right now who are making those steps of renewed faith, or maybe even new faith, God, we thank you that you meet them. Thank you, God, for your love for them. And Lord, for each one of us, help us to be open to the ways that you are moving us from offense to empathy. Lord, help us to be open to, as your Spirit nudges us when the times when we need to make the first move. Lord, help us to be open when we realize that we've blown it with somebody else and we need to apologize to somebody else. God, give us the courage. Those things can be so scary. They can be so hard. And yet your Spirit is so present. So Lord, let this be a place of reconciliation. Let this be a place where we are made right with you. And Lord, let this be a place where we are increasingly made right with the people around us too, because you are a God of reconciliation. We thank you for all these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the point during our in-person service where kids are returning from children's church and the congregation is singing a song together as we prepare for a time of communion. And rather than have you kind of look at the back of heads for a few minutes while we kind of get all that sorted out and figured out, I thought it might be nice for us to have just a few moments, just you and me, together. And for us to take communion together. Now, adding this portion onto the worship service is a little bit of an experiment. We're going to try it for 3 weeks and then kind of see if it's helpful or not. So do be ready to give us some feedback in a couple of weeks. So we're just looking to see how we can serve both the in-person church and our e-family well. So thanks for being a part of that. But as we prepare for communion, I'm reminded of these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Now, communion isn't exactly like leaving a gift at the altar, but this passage, if nothing else, it reminds us that there's an urgency to making things right everywhere we can. And so even as we prepare for communion, I want to ask you just three questions that they were part of the message today. You know, is there a situation in your life where right now you are asking God to move you from offense to empathy? As we prepare for communion, would you pray about that? Is there anyone in your life that you really need to make the first move of reconciliation with? Pray about that. And as the Holy Spirit speaks, if the Holy Spirit points somebody out to you, do something about that right away. Even if that means hitting pause on the service or whatever, even if that means you breaking away from the live stream right now, don't delay. Obey. Do what God tells you to do. And is there anybody that you need to apologize to? If God's laid someone on your heart, don't delay. Obey. Go about it right. Go about it right away. I didn't intend for that to rhyme, but our relationship with God is so interdependent and so reflective. Our relationship with God is reflected in the way that we treat the people around us. So even as we remember the grace and love of Jesus that we you know, in these communion elements, it's just vitally important that we do everything we can to extend grace to one another, especially when we've wronged one another. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Now, if you're joining us at home, I invite you to find some bread or juice if you haven't found some already. And in these next moments, I invite you to serve one another with these words. And we'll put them on the screen for you. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. And if for some reason right now you're watching solo, allow me to serve you. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Let's remember what he did for us together. So we thank you, Jesus, for giving your body and shedding your blood. We remember what forgiveness cost you. Lord, help us to not take that lightly. But Lord, help us, all of us, to be people of forgiveness who extend your forgiveness and grace and reconciliation to one another and to the world around us, because we need it and this world needs it so desperately. Now, let's pray the words of the Lord's Prayer out loud together. So even if you're joining us from home, even if you're joining us alone, I invite you to pray these words out loud. And we'll put the words on the screen so you can follow along. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So thank you so much for joining us today for worship. We pray this was a really meaningful time, and we pray this is something that helps to equip you to love like Jesus wherever you are, wherever God sends you, wherever God has you. As we close, we're going to put some discussion questions up on the screen, and if you're watching with somebody, I invite you to talk about as many of these questions as you like. And if it's helpful, or especially if you're joining us alone, then even chat. We've got online hosts on all the platforms that this is being broadcast on, and they'd love to talk with you about these, you know, the questions on the screen or any prayer requests or anything else that's going on in your life. We're in this together. We can help one another along. We can equip and encourage and spur one another on to good deeds. So again, thanks for joining us for worship. I just pray God's blessing on you, as you love like Jesus, and as you go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.